This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest thing that has struck me is that it continues to be someone else's problem. Like, take us back to locker cleanout day. First, it was the knee tendonitis. And then to start this season, it was JT Miller. And then when JT Miller is not there, he gets back to performing at a level that he should. Then JT Miller is gone. And all of a sudden, the question is his line mates. Does he have enough talent around him? Is he being deployed appropriately? And then finally, after we don't see a different Pettersson, all of a sudden now it's the media's fault. And I think the biggest question left to answer is, when is Elias Pettersson going to take any accountability for his own game?
That is Frank Saravalli.
Frank Saravalli.
Daily Faceoff.
And that is what it has sounded like about Pettersson for like a week or more now from the Vancouver people and the insiders. Like, he's kind of getting crushed.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Sabre fans are now hearing that or reading about him and thinking, like, or being turned off to the idea a bit. Just on all of that. I don't even know how true all of that is. Like, is he actually blaming the media, or is he just saying that the media is annoying and he probably shouldn't have said it? Mm-hmm. But it just it seems like a guy right now that is just completely lost in the wilderness, and you know, you're kind of maybe taking a risk on a personality more than anything if you're to acquire him and spend a ton to get him. It's also why he would be available, though,
right? Just
because that baggage is the only reason you could even get him.
Don't you think a good chunk of Sabres fans don't even bother entertaining the idea of a trade because they don't think the team will make one?
That is definitely a sizable chunk, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wouldn't even think about it. You know, I think they'll do something.
They will have to. I also think, like, this offseason, somebody from the core gets moved. I do think that'll happen.
Cousins?
Maybe.
Doesn't have to be Cousins. Because Cousins is the only one that you can realistically think has any value that doesn't sound as crazy as, like, you're not trading Dahlin or Tage, and then yep. Who else in your core really carries a lot of weight? Like, it just feels like there's enough noise to think he would be the one.
Operation 10 straight. Here's the update. So Ottawa lost, right? That's good.
Yep.
The final playoff spot is currently held by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here's the thing about chasing. It's like chasing a cut line in golf. Yes, it moves around a lot. But if you birdie in, you'll probably be close to it because the teams that are here are not that good either. I mean, they're better than you. Right now, Columbus is on pace for, through 64 games, to have 70 points. If the Sabres win their next eight, I know. Then they would have 69 and be 1 point back.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the math. Some are doing a magic number, like they have 26 games remaining. They probably have to win 19 of them. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to do it that way? That's fine, too. I'm doing Operation 10 straight. If they lose tonight, guess what? Start a 10-game streak tomorrow because the number will be slightly different but about the same. But they kind of have to win. They're going to be about 13 games over 500 is really what they have to do. And over actual 500, not like the overtime loss 500.
Yep.
All right. So.
Are they good?
Who?
The Sabres.
No.
Like, do we care? Do we care about these indicators, like the fact
are they improved?
That they have the third most goals in the NHL this year at 5-on-5. Like, special team stinks. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. Their special team stinks. Do we care that they're amazing in the first period, best team in the league, Like, do we care that they're great at 5-on-5? Like, do we care that when Dahlin is healthy, especially, that they are, they're a far better team? Like, there are these indicators, these small indicators that are kind of mixed in that kind of say, like, you might not, you're definitely not as bad as where you are in the standings, but maybe you're even closer to good than you are to terrible. You just got some things to figure out.
Yep.
But that's,
well,
and that's different. There are years where they have a hot power play, or they have a great penalty kill, or they get great goaltending, but there's just no debate. The team stinks. Like, the team gets run over at even strength all the time. And that really is the one category I really want to kind of key in on, is like, if they're good at even strength, then I kind of want to believe that. I don't know. I don't. How far do I want to go with it? That they're going to figure it out.
The answer to your question, do you care about the things they are good at, is picture it's locker cleanout day and Kevin Adams is talking about those things as reasons why they're good. Do you care about it? You might say he's
I might
not
care
wrong.
About it if it was a different GM that was saying.
Just like, I'm not saying he's wrong, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear these victory laps over things that, you know, have you finishing in 27th place.
Right.
So anyway, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Did you see Warren Sharp had some interesting stats, NFL note here. Do you know the team that would benefit the most if the tush push was banned?
That would benefit the most?
Yes, there's one team that would benefit the most. He did some numbers on fourth downs in the NFL last year. And we already did our stat of the day. So I can give you this, which is kind of part of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
So everybody knows quarterback sneaks are very efficient. Anybody who wants to eliminate the tush push is still allowing you to do the quarterback sneak, to still do the thing where the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman push each other and no one's getting called soft. Like, it's still a play. It's just you can't push the quarterback from behind. Anyway, he points out that quarterback sneaks are very effective. 70 quarterback sneaks last year in the NFL on fourth and short. Converted at a 90% rate.
Mm-hmm.
So 90% of quarterback sneaks convert. The Washington Commanders, converted 87% of their fourth and shorts and never ran a single quarterback sneak.
Wow.
So they don't even need the tush push.
No.
If you're the Commanders, you wish you could vote 10 times. Take it away from the Eagles. We don't even need it.
Right.
87% on fourth and short. And did not quarterback sneak a single time.
Yeah. That, especially if your division rival that you play twice a year is the one that is running the same play. Because that, both those teams go for a lot of fourth downs, right? So, like, you would be taking away your biggest threat, your biggest contender, your biggest division rival right now going forwards, number one play by far in those situations, and you would still have all of yours. That would be huge for them, I think.
Yeah. 803-0550. Let's get some calls in. We got a couple to catch up on. Let's go to Winton in Buffalo. Winton, good morning.
Hey, guys. Just to chime in on the Kincaid a little bit, McDermott can kind of complain about his strength and his power, but, you know, he was never really good at blocking to begin with coming out of college. That was his knock. Getting drafted, but he's supposed to have, you know, great hands, but even his hands have been a little shaky at times. And even with Coleman, he was never really a separating speed guy, and it kind of showed this year. So maybe we're starting to get a little bit too cute in draft, and I would just like to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
all guys at that stage in the first round are going to have deficiencies, right? It's
most
just kind of
them. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't appear to have too many, and
right.
Ladd McConkey had a great rookie season. I was watching some and reading some on him.
But what's his deficiency? His deficiency is he can't really play on the outside, right?
Sure. I mean, I'm not even sure that is his deficiency. I mean, everybody's got one. Xavier Worthy had a deficiency. He's not that big. He's not ever going to run block for you.
Right.
Right. So you're right. You're not going for perfect players. You're going for guys that fit roles. And for Kincaid and for Coleman, they've got roles to fill. It is a little bit of the Bills' offense. They are constantly trying to, when they draft a player, say a player can do more than they have done. And sometimes they're right. I mean, Dawson Knox did not catch a touchdown in college. And they turned him into a pretty good tight end. So sometimes they're right.
Right.
But if you think back to Kincaid, he's a matchup nightmare. You know, think of him like a receiver. Well, that's not really true. When they drafted Shakir, they needed help on the outside. Oh, we think he can go on the outside. Like, it's really not true. Coleman is – here's another part about Coleman that's interesting. Many people thought Coleman would be good in the NFL and would be best used where?
Slot.
They've got so many guys that can roll in there. And I think Coleman did start to see a little bit of slot deployment late in the season, a little bit.
I mean, look on that, because you already have Shakir, Kincaid, and right. Samuel, if you want to, that all play there a lot.
So it's just interesting, the Bills, they like the guys they like, and for whatever reason, they've not committed a big asset to a burner. Maybe this is the year.
Yeah, you're right. But if you look at Coleman played 75 snaps in the slot total this season, and before he got injured, that was only like 20 of them. So like 55 of his 75 were weeks 15 on. Mm-hmm. But again, that number is minuscule, 75 snaps in the slot on the year compared to 633 on the outside. Like, they really did not. They did not think that it was going to be a part of his game, or at least just that it didn't fit the offense. And that was always my biggest question with, like, Kincaid. If you want to tell me his deficiencies, he doesn't block and he's not big enough, like, all right, like, I could still listen to, though, matchup nightmare. Like, if he's good at the stuff he's supposed to be good at, then I shouldn't really care about all that other stuff.
Yeah, the
stuff
the true matchup,
go ahead.
But the true matchup nightmares are at tight end are the guys that do both. That you really, when they're on the field, you are afraid they're going to blast you and they're going to block. That's the true matchup nightmare tight end.
But then with Coleman, even, I guess, in addition then, with Coleman, my problem more so with him is the things that were questions about him, speed and separation, are just, like, they're non-starters for me. Like, if you can't do that, then you better be the best contested catch guy in the league. And he was one of the worst. By efficiency, he was one of the worst.
I don't think the separation issue has to be a death sentence. There are guys that do succeed without separating. He can be one of those guys. I think it's obviously key to know you shouldn't really ever expect it from him. I think he can succeed despite having that problem, but I don't think it's someone you can really grow into becoming.
Well, then he's going to have to catch more than 23% of his contested balls. Like, that's it. Right. That might be all. And is that what they're talking about when they say aggressiveness and, like, you know, going after, you know, those types of plays? That might be all that they're really talking about when they're talking about. They weren't talking about Coleman in these press conferences having to go to work this offseason and figuring out how to run routes. Like, that wasn't the messaging.
803-0550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. Big game tonight, Sabres and Canes. We're calling it a big game. You can't stop us. We're doing it. And it's the Canes. Maybe you can, you know, work up a little lather, a little hatred. Call back on the old...
Just show the 06 banner and a picture-in-picture in the corner of the screen the whole time just to get Sabre fans fired up.
Watching 06 highlights does include, though, getting OLN on the broadcast. Don't forget that.
Yes.
OLN, the Outdoor Life Network.
What a time to be alive.
What a life we have lived here. What a life. All right, we'll wrap the show and pass it off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up next.